Greetings. The precious name of our Lord and Savior this morning. Bring you greetings from my home congregation of Cocalamus there in central PA. I invite you to come and visit us there. I invite you to turn with me this morning to Matthew 28, verse 1. I'd like to try and understand a little bit what we talk about on baptism. Why are Trevor and Kyan and LaDonna and LaRonda here this morning at this place? Yes, this isn't holy water, it's just tap water. But yet it symbolizes something of deep meaning, and you say, well, why do we need to do this? Well, Brother Ron just told us why. Jesus said so, and that's reason enough. We don't understand it all. We see through a glass a bit darkly today. But we stand here in obedience before Jesus this morning. But the first six verses of Matthew 28, I'd like to title this message this morning, Weeping at the Feet of Jesus. And I marveled this morning at Brother Jerry's devotional. And I want to end on this note. We're not going to talk much about this title till we get to the end of the message. But God has done so much through us, for us through Jesus Christ. And I want to just focus on that a little bit right at the end of the message. But to get the thought of this picture here of what of baptism, we start here with Christ. Yes, he's coming. He just came forth from the grave. But the question that I'd like to ask here and carry to near the end of the message again is the question: why was Christ in the grave? You can ponder that. But Matthew 28, verse 1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment as white as snow, and for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And so why do we start here? Why do we look at this scene? You know, there's so much in this story that this moment that I just love. You know, the fact that this seal, the stone was sealed with an official sealing wax and an impression made in it with an official ring, and it was a crime to move that stone. But the authority of God came, and there was no man's authority that mattered at all. Man's authorities were laying there shaken like dead men. They were probably flat on the ground. He said they became as dead men. They were equally powerless. That angel rolled that stone back and sat on it and said, challenge me. It was an act of defiance in the face of the enemy. Challenge me. We have a risen Savior this morning. And the power that brought him out is a power that we want to talk about this morning. And that's why we start here. He is not here, but for he is risen. The power of God. Marvelous. Marvelous. So turn with me to Romans chapter 6. We're going to spend a fair amount of time there, trying to dig a little deeper one more time into one of these amazing dialogues of the Apostle Paul and his incredible education and knowledge. And I think we'll just read through this a few verses at a time. Read the first 23 verses, but it'll read it in a number of sections, but that's the verses we'll be looking at. And so the first four verses is where I'll start. And so we start here. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So where did this death take place for Christ? As we're looking at Christ here, and typologies and symbols here, where did the death take place? On a cross. That's where Christ gave his life for you and I. And following that, they put him in the tomb. And that's natural, that's normal, that's appropriate. That's what happens to all of us as we come to that point of death in life by whatever means and whatever in God's time and way. We die. We're placed in a grave, a tomb, whatever you want to call it. And we rest there, our physical bodies rest there until the resurrection. But our spirits go to be with Christ if we are one of his children. So the question here is, since Christ shed his blood to forgive all sin, since Christ's Holy Spirit can dwell within each one of us and give us grace and power and wisdom to live a life that's pleasing to him each and every day, shall we just relax and enjoy life and do whatever we feel like and gratify the lusts of our flesh and our bodies and whatever, wherever our bodies and our minds steer us, that's where we go. God forbid. God forbid. We have an interesting thought here of being dead to sin. And we're going to pick up on that later. But how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Baptism here is the thought of being baptized into the death of Christ. No, these four young people weren't hung on a cross. But the Christian life, the plan of salvation, and the Christian life calls for them to lay their lives down, to die to self. There's no other way, my dear people. And we look at it and we say, the price is so high. And there's some stories I wish I could tell you about the people out there that are living the good life. And the pain and the misery and the shame and the self-loathing. To lay down one's life for Christ is far easier. Far easier. We lay down ourselves and we don't have it. We don't have it to live the Christian life. We don't have it to be good. I understand that, and I understand the struggles that sometimes and the questions that can come through a young person's life and mind. But you know, as we lay down our lives and that Holy Spirit moves in and empowers us, as long as we are careful to stay there, dead to self, we have that power within us. Galatians 2:20 tells us, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So, it's not me. It's not Joel that's good. Joel's no good. But the life of Christ in him can bring forth good. Verses 5 through 8 here in our chapter, Romans 6. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Planted together in the likeness of his death. I said there was no crucifixions here. There was no lives laid down where they were actually killed physically like Christ was. But we need in the same way to lay, come down and bow down at the foot of the cross and give everything we are to the Lordship of Christ. Allow his blood to wash us clean of that sin nature. And I wish I could tell you this morning that once that sin nature is dealt with, it's gone. But I can't do that. At least unless I've never gotten where Christ wants me to be. And I'm sure he will always lead me farther. But I really believe that so well, let me reference a couple more verses here in 1 Peter 3. We have 20 and 21, just pulling a thought out there. You know, we talked about the disobedience that was back then when the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while he was building the ark. And it says there were 8 souls saved by water. And the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why we went back and looked at the resurrection to start here this morning. This thought, there's two thoughts here, that this whole thing about not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God is in parentheses. And if I read verse 21 without them, it's very short, and it says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth now also save us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christ died physically so that we don't have to pay the price for our sins, and we can never pay that debt. So we would burn in hell for eternity, and the debt would never get any less. The interest would never even get paid on that debt, much less reduce the principal. There is no way that humanity can do anything to pay that debt except to come and surrender and allow Christ to wash us free of that. But it does not, this baptism does not wash these young people this morning. It is an answer. It is a type of what has happened, what the blood of Jesus has already done for them and washed them of the filth of the flesh, but it is only a type. It's an answer of a good conscience towards God. And I just want to tell you, young people, this morning, when you struggle and you wonder about that good conscience, talk to Jesus about it. He's real. He cares. Talk to your parents, talk to your church leaders. Don't struggle on and on and on for years with the questions about your salvation like I did, okay? I understand your questions sometimes. But put your focus on Jesus. Talk to those that can help you. And trust God to do what he said he would do. He said, if you will do your part, I will make you clean. I will give you strength. I will guide you through life. And we can't do that on our own, but God said he will. And he will. There's some questions we could ask here about this First Peter. There was 8 souls saved by water. So what saved Noah? The water? The ark? Well, if we really want to boil it down to the facts, I would say it was Noah's obedience. Noah hadn't been obedient and built the ark, there would have been no deliverance. If there hadn't have been water, there would have been no need for the ark. And it's a paradox, but the same thing that saved Noah, the water that carried that ark and kept him afloat, and all those animals, is what destroyed sin. And see, that's what the crucifixion was about. That's what the flood was about, to deal with the sin problem. There was a problem of sin. The world was full of wickedness back then, so God destroyed it all and started over with 8 people. It's amazing how quickly they were back in trouble. But that's because they didn't have the blood of Jesus and they didn't have his Holy Spirit to indwell them like you and I can have today. Our old man is crucified with him that the body of sin might be destroyed. And therefore, we don't need to serve sin. See, I did that for years. To my shame, I did that, young people, for years in the church. It wasn't the church's fault. It wasn't God's fault. It was my choices. But you know, something that's dead doesn't do the wrong thing anymore. You know, I just noticed, I never didn't think of this till just now, but I noticed over where we stayed with my sister and Hope and her husband Tim, my brother-in-law, I saw a mousetrap in that house. So we're going to call the mouse a sinner this morning. And the things he does, like chewing holes in packages of food, is sin. But when that trap goes snap, there's no more sin. The sinner's dealt with. So when we're dead to sin, and that word, to the Hebrews, that was a little more of a common thought, to be dead to a thing or dead to a person. And that means have nothing to do with them. Okay, if we're dead to sin, we don't do that anymore. We don't want to do that anymore. We don't want anything to do with it. And yet, we can't eradicate that nature. But the power of God and that dying to self keep it where it is supposed to be. You just might say in remission. Not eradicated. To live to a thing or person is to be totally given to that. So I used to be totally given to sin, okay? And that's where I lived, and that's where I walked and talked, and as long as I could and not get caught, but that's where I lived. That's what I was inside. I was a real hypocrite for years. And I just so you know that I understand that life. But you know, one day, years after I was a church member, I gave it all to Jesus. And then he changed me. And I didn't have to do those things anymore that I couldn't stop doing before. See, I was a slave. I couldn't change. There was nothing I could do within my power to stop doing. I talked to people on occasion. I wanted help and I needed help. There was nothing I could do until I died to myself. Then Jesus took over. And I was a changed man. Verses 9 through 11 here, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And see, until we die to sin, we're slaves. I'll just tell you that. That's where you are. I don't think you're that different than me, and that's where I was. I know what it is to desperately want to change and be powerless to change. Afraid. I remember being such a fool that I was like, well, we're driving down the road. What if we'd have an accident and I get killed? I'm not ready to die, and I was afraid to die, and I knew I wasn't ready to die. And I thought, well, if we start having an accident, I'll quick cry out to God to save me. You know that song about sporting on destruction's brink, but spared from falling in? That's me. That's the grace of God. Today, I do everything I can to help people that are in the bondage that I used to be in to come to Christ and to come free. Because we have no promise that we're going to have that moment of grace where we can cry out to God. And if that's the way you're living, I'll just tell you, you're a hypocrite, and I wonder if your prayers will get above the car roof. If you try to quick all of a sudden, while you're living for self, say, oh, now that I'm dying, God, I want to serve you. No. Your heart's far from him. And that's where I was. Verses 12 to the end of the chapter. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your member servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So here we have this talk about being yielded and about being servants. And verse 12 begins, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it. That's where I was for so long. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Instruments. Let's call that equipment for a little bit here. And there's different pieces of equipment that maybe would pertain to us men a little more, but I think we can all relate to this one. So we'll go to the kitchen. And we have some equipment there. You know, when we, well, this morning there at Tim's house, they had a little turkey in the oven overnight, and we picked the bones, picked all the meat off the bones this morning. So, we didn't pay a lot of attention to the garbage. We didn't use Hope's measuring cups to measure the fat and the skin and the bones and all of that and see how much garbage we could collect. Those instruments were more used to do what we could for the good food. We had containers for the good food. Anything else went in the trash. We skimmed out the garbage out of the junk out of the gravy, and we put the potatoes and carrots in the gravy, and they're sitting back there in the oven. We're going to have good mashed potatoes after a while. But we're going to use the mixer to beat the potatoes, not to beat the bones. See? Yeah, you say that's pretty elementary. Well, let's bring that back to our lives now, okay? We don't need to be instruments that support or do anything towards for the kingdom of darkness. Okay, let's just put it that way. We're all different. We have different temptations. We have different struggles. We have different personalities, different inclinations. But God has given us this body, and I used to use this body just to serve this body. That's all it was for. Today, I use this body as much as I can to serve my Lord and my Savior because I owe Him so much, because He's done so much for me. He took me out of that bondage where I lived in the garbage, if you can so say. And I was a slave to the garbage. But now I can deal with good food. I don't need to deal with the garbage anymore. I put that away. And I'm tempted sometimes because, you know, well, you could say them bones have some good calcium in them, and there's, you know, there's good energy and fat and some of that stuff. And, well, I have enough fat. I don't need more. But I don't have, I'm not forced to live dealing with garbage anymore. And I am free. I am free to live and produce righteousness. I'm not perfect. Don't get me wrong. I'm not implying that I have it all together. I don't. But I can be, see, this servant word, and I want you to get this. This servant word is probably slave, okay? I was a slave to sin. There's no doubt about it. Now I'm free to give myself as a slave to serve a new master. That is Jesus Christ. You know, we could learn some real lessons from the slavery and it's a part of the shame of our history. But you know, that slave didn't have any choice, couldn't make any choices. They didn't do anything for themselves, but the only thing they did was work hard to protect themselves from another flogging, some of them, you know. They just worked for Massa. They just worked for Massa. That's what life was all about. And, you know, that's where we need to be with Jesus today. We just work for Jesus. Seek ye first, our brother said this morning, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then what happens? I don't remember if he finished the verse. All these things will be added unto you. Verse 22, there's so much more I could say here, but I don't have time. Being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting. So yes, we have a high standard, and it's not always easy, and sometimes it seems the price is really high to live in holiness, but that's God's will. That's God's plan, and that's what God enables us to do. And the end, everlasting life. Out of that life of holiness comes the promise that I have an everlasting life living within me that will never leave me. And someday I will have an eternal life with him in heaven. If I have that. The wages of sin is death. The wages is what you deserve. It was that thought there is a thought of that was a pay of a common Roman soldier. He worked for, he did his duty for the day, and he got his paycheck. That's all it was. It's what you deserve. The wages of sin is death. And if you're going to serve sin, what you deserve, your paycheck, is death. No questions asked. That's a fact of God's word. You serve sin, you die. Spiritually, you die. And eventually, physically, you die. And then there will come the second death, which is eternity in hell, the lake of fire. The gift of God, you don't deserve it, my young, dear young people. You don't deserve it. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's his work in us. Turn with me to Colossians 2. I want to touch on here just a little bit. But I don't know how much I can do here. Verse 6 of Colossians chapter 2. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I wanted this thought of thanksgiving here this morning. You know, sometimes I get the thought that we're a little bit like martyrs. Oh God, I can't drive the car I want to drive. Oh God, I can't have the dress material I want to have. And this Christian life is so hard, and there's so many rules, and there's so many restrictions, and you're headed for death. I'm sorry. Because you're not living free in Christ. I wish, again, I could tell you some stories that I don't have time for this morning. But I have an obituary at home that was written by a girl in a town not far from me. And in her early 20s, she wrote a poem. She was a writer. She was that. She wrote a poem about her journey as a drug addict. And it's heartbreaking. And she took her own life. Beautiful young girl. The wages of sin is death. Heartbroken, struggling. Today you sit here, you're spared from it all by the work of Jesus. And you ought to just be jumping up and down and shouting hallelujah, every one of us this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us. Old brother Victor Avalle had a message for us, baptismal message, many years ago from us. He was a brother from Guatemala, and he was there, and he told about his journey as he went from church to church trying to find Jesus. And you know, he just over and over and over in that message, he was like, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. He found peace, he found life, thank you, Jesus. I wanted to be born again. And finally, he had it. Verse 12, buried with him in baptism, where also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses. If you can only imagine the dread, the shame, the guilt, and the fear that is in the heart of most people out there, and we can't. We most of us at least have never walked there to that extent. But they're forgiven today. They're forgiven. They're gone. Washed away by the blood of Jesus, put in the sea of forgetfulness and remembered no more. The challenge of the chapter 3 of Colossians here, 1-4, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Maybe it seems like it's a bit thankless being a child of God today. there's glory coming. And it's not a thankless situation being a child of God today. But I understand the temptation to think of that on occasion. Well, I'm going to tell you a Bible story here rather than taking the time to turn to it, maybe a couple of them, because of the sake of time here this morning. But in Luke 7, Jesus was invited to a Pharisee's house for lunch. And he went in and he was sitting at meat. And when they did that back then, they were kind of laying on their side, kind of reclining, and their feet were out behind them. And this woman, who I believe had been a vile sinner, and the Bible doesn't tell us who she was or what she did, and we're not going to imagine this morning. But she came in and she stood back there behind him, just weeping. And I'm getting to this thought of weeping at the feet of Jesus. And she was weeping and weeping and weeping. And she just washed his dirty old, you know, all he did was wear sandals and walk up and down the dusty paths over there in the desert, you know. And his feet were as dirty as anything. I don't doubt it. And she washed his feet with her tears and she dried them with the hairs of her head. Now, I don't know how many sisters here would consider that a bad hair day, but I think pretty many. Why did she do that? Then she poured ointment on him. She anointed his feet with ointment. And that Pharisee was like, Jesus, you don't know who's touching you. Jesus didn't know who was touching him. Jesus didn't know who was touching him. And he said, hey, Simon. It was Simon the Pharisee. He said, you know, if I forgave you a $20 bill, or if I forgave you a debt you could probably never repay, what would make you love me the most? Okay, I'm just putting this in my own words. And Simon says, well, if you give me a big debt, I suppose I'd love you more. The question today is, how much have you been forgiven? How much do you love Jesus? See, I love the way Jesus said it there. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. He didn't say she loves much because she was forgiven much. That's the fact. But yet, her dedication shows that she sensed how much she had been forgiven. She was one of those out there that had no hope. She was a slave to her sin. I don't know what it was. But she was in deep. And she was one of those people we probably don't really like to deal with. You know, we're pretty good. And that pretty good concept comes right across into how much we've been forgiven. We don't comprehend. And I'm not saying that we should live that life out there. But I love our Mennonite heritage. I'm not bashing it for a moment here this morning, my dear people. But we don't comprehend how vile we were in the eyes of Jesus. But when we were yet sinners and we despised him and we were his enemies, he laid down his life for us because he loved us that much. And he pulled us up out of that mire, and we look around and we say, I've always been a pretty good little Mennonite, and I'm not sure I ever was very dirty. And I wonder if we're clean today yet, if we can't comprehend the filth we were once in. This is just thoughts that go through my mind. He told that lady to go in peace. Her faith had saved her. She loved much, and she just wept in gratitude. Then we come to the tomb. Jesus, they were the resurrection morning. You know, the others left, but Mary Magdalene stood there weeping. And somebody said, why are you weeping? They've taken away my Lord. We're also told in Mark 16:9 that Jesus appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. One of the worst specimens of humanity that you ever saw, Jesus delivered. He redeemed her. He washed her clean. And she was so grateful that she just wept at the loss of her Lord. She knew it was real. There was no question in her mind whether she was born again or not. She knew she was transformed. The same with this other woman there in Simon the Pharisee's house. There was no question. And they were just so grateful that they were just weeping in gratitude at the feet of Jesus. And I think we can learn some lessons here this morning, my dear people, as we contemplate the rich blessings we have in our risen Lord, as we hear together and we witness what Trevor and Kyan and LaDonda and LaRonda have to say this morning and the testimony they give. God is so good. Yes, you say, if I have to lay down my life, that's okay. Life isn't worth anything if it doesn't have Jesus in it. This morning, is our hearts full of worship and praise, and may it go with us this coming week. You know, Jesus has done so much. Are we back there in Colossians 2, verse 7, are we abounding in thanksgiving? Is that my heartbeat as I go out to work tomorrow morning? My heart is just grateful that I can be a risen, born again child of God, free from the tyranny and slavery of my human flesh. And I get to be a child of God. I get to have that Spirit dwell within me and guide me and empower me and protect me and preserve me. And my dear people, of the truly born again people in this world, I think it's less than 1% of the people in the world. Do you realize, can I use common terms today? Do you realize how lucky you are to be here today? Do you realize how blessed, how slim the chance that you are here today? And not out there, the son of some druggie or the daughter of some druggie on the streets of the cities with not a ray of hope that you can think of to have a life worth living. You hope you live. You might get killed at any day. And we're here. We're at peace. We're a part of a brotherhood that loves us. We have differences, but we still have a brotherhood that wants us to win. We have Jesus who died for us when we were vile sinners. And we're a microscopic percentage of the world population. Like, oh my, life's hard. Yeah, right. You are one of the most blessed little tiny specks of humanity in comparison to the whole spectrum of humanity. Just thinking of the people today. If you're not excited to be here today, I pity you. We serve a risen Savior. And he is here with us today. He wants you to win. He gave his life to make you, help you win. He's continuing to serve us at the right hand of the Father to help us win. And he will come again and take us home to be with him. And all he asks is that we give him our heart's love and a life that flows out of that. And it is so little compared to what he paid for us. God bless you for this morning. As you go through this, I have one word of advice for you, and that is focus on what you're saying, what's happening, what you're going through. Don't focus on them back there. I was so stage fright or whatever, I don't really remember my baptism, okay? Pay attention to what's happening. Take the memories with you. It's a precious moment in time. Yes, you're born again believer, but yet this is one more step in obedience to Jesus Christ. God bless you.